only 1 year that I was selling caviar. As you understood, a difficult product, quite a niche product. Saturday morning at 10 a.m., first customer is Hugh Grant with his son.
Welcome to the Hospitality Podcast.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Come on, man.
I just need a...
This is the lamb
sauce. Where's the lamb sauce?
Presented by Arthur Gomez.
God damn, I just spent $8,000 on some fucking wine.
And Quentin Wind.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
So pour yourself a glass, because we're diving into the world of restaurants, kitchen and bar. The Hospitality Podcast.
Hey, welcome back everybody to Breaking the Cork. Today, a new episode of the podcast, always with a new guest. And we have a special guest with us. We have Faustine. Faustine
Hello,
de Cassini. She's the export manager at Caviar Surya for the UK.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically today, during the episode, we're going to talk about caviar. We're going to try some caviar. You bring some samples.
Indeed.
What did you bring exactly?
I thought it was Christmas. So I thought we would celebrate with a bit of caviar. So I did bring 3 caviar from 2 different species of sturgeon. And we're going to talk about it a bit later.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
So just to explain maybe a little bit more, Sturia, it's a French caviar.
Yes, indeed. Sturia, we've been breeding and producing caviar for the past 30 years now, which makes us one of the biggest producers of caviar in France. Mm. And caviar comes from the sturgeon fish. Caviar means salted sturgeon eggs, so it's very easy. We're going to try 3 different caviar from 2 different species. For one, we take 7 to 9 years to breed the sturgeon. Mm. And the other one is 10 to 12 years.
So if we try and go from the basis, for the people who doesn't know what caviar is, first of all, the story of caviar, where it's coming from at first, and obviously there's a legend, I know it might be real, but it used to be the food for the poor before.
So sturgeon, the caviar originally it comes from the Caspian Sea, which is between Russia and Iran, and they were using indeed, they were at that time the Tsar were fishing the sturgeon for the meat, for the flesh, and throwing away the eggs for the poor people, and that appears, we don't know exactly when it has arrived, exactly in the when they started to produce some caviar, but in France it has started in 1920, and the legend, as you say, the legend is that a Russian princess came on holidays in Bordeaux and saw the fisherman, the French fisherman close to the Gironde estuary, fishing the sturgeon for the flesh, for the meat, and throwing away the eggs to the duck. And she screamed, she said, "You are mad, because in Russia we keep those eggs that we mix with salt. This is called caviar, and this is how we started to produce in 1920. In the Gironde estuary.
So in 1920, that means it's not that old?
Exactly. And the problem is that with overfishing, we didn't know exactly how to produce caviar. So the species, the sturgeon species, were disappearing.
In
2008, the wild caviar has been totally banned. So before it was wild caviar, and now it's only farmed caviar.
Okay.
Everywhere
cool.
in the world, yeah.
So you can't find any wild one anymore?
No, you can find, but on the... Black market.
Actually, talking about the black market, do you have in the caviar industry, like in the wine or any other like kind of prestigious product, any black market as well for the caviar? Because I know it's very expensive.
Yeah, so there is a black market on the caviar. I mean, the caviar is covered by the CITES. CITES is on all the tin of caviar, this little number I will show you.
So for
later.
People who just listen to the podcast, you swing the back of the of
exactly.
The
so there is this number over here. And the CITES stands for Convention of International Trade of Underjawed Species. That allows you to find out from which sturgeon species it is, because there is 25 species of sturgeon. You can find out the origin of the caviar, you can find out the date, when it's been produced, and without it, you can't sell caviar. Yeah.
So you can't find wild sturgeon in France or anywhere in the world now?
So you can find... You can go in the sea, fish some sturgeon, because there is still some sturgeon in the sea. But if you fish it, you have to release it.
And you can really, like, fish one... Open it, taking the and doing the caviar at your
place. You have to be very lucky, because if you do that, you have to. I mean, the sturgeon, it starts producing the eggs after 7 to 8 years, and after you have to fish him at the right period when the eggs are good for the caviar, the texture, the size, the color. So yes, you can fish a sturgeon, but by the time you open it, I mean, you have to be very lucky to find eggs which are ready for the caviar
And I guess it's a very long process. It's not just like you're fishing the fish,
exactly.
You're opening the belly, getting the eggs with salt, and that's it. It's more complex.
Yeah, so the farming process is very long because we wait minimum 7 years to get the eggs from one of the sturgeon, up to 10 years and 20 years for the beluga, which is the Ross of the caviar. But for the, let's say, for the Accipenser bairi, which is one of the most common in Europe, you wait, 7 to 9 years. To get the eggs. After, to make sure that the eggs are good before we kill the fish, we'll have to kill the fish to get the eggs. We'll do an echography.
Yeah, I saw
and
this.
A biopsy. Really? You've seen the video?
Yeah, I've seen the video, yeah.
It's nice, huh?
It's just just like a pregnant woman.
Like an echography.
Exactly. So you do a biopsy, you extract a few eggs from the sturgeon, and then you check the size, the color, and the texture before killing the fish, obviously. If it's not good, we put the fish back in the water for another 2 years. If it's good, we're sending the sturgeon in the production site, where we will take the eggs out of the sturgeon, and we're going to mix with water. We're going to sieve the eggs with water, and then we're going to mix with salt, and then we can call it caviar. So the farming process is very long. It's 7 years minimum. But then the production, it's 20 minutes, 40 minutes.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick, yeah.
So what's expensive in all of that is just the time.
Exactly.
7 years.
It's all about
space,
patience.
Yeah. Obviously.
The space, the food that we give to the fish.
Oh, yeah. Can we speak about that, actually, the food that we give? Is that, does that change, obviously, the
Exactly.
The
so
taste?
We've been producing caviar for the past 30 years. So we've tried many things. Today, we feed the fish with vegetal oil, with fish meal, with a bit of proteins, but everything is very controlled.
Okay.
And it represents a big, a huge kind of money because we have to feed the fish for seven years minimum, up to 15 to 20 years for the beluga.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why I didn't bring beluga today.
Once you get the eggs from the sturgeon, how many grams minimum and how many maybe kilo?
So it's a good question. So 10% of the total weight of the fish is eggs, roughly.
Okay.
10%? Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to try three different caviar, one from the Accipenser bairi, which is a 7 to 9 years old fish.
Okay.
It's a fish that is roughly 10 kilo.
Yeah.
So you get 1 kilo. This is 1 kilo.
I think check the box out. It's amazing.
That's
right. How much would it cost for this box of 1 kilo, approximately?
You can find a 1 kilo box for tin, we call it tin, for £1,000.
Okay.
To £5,000 for the beluga.
Okay. Okay, and what's the weight of a sturgeon, for example?
It's the beluga, so it comes from the fish, which is called the uso-uso. The fish can go up to 70 kilos.
70 kilos.
Yeah. You get 6 to 8 kilos, roughly. For the ossietra, which is one of the most famous one in the world, just after the beluga.
Okay.
The ossietra, it comes from the Accipenser guldenstätti. That's 10 to 12 years old fish, so you get 1.5 kilos of caviar. Not caviar, because at that time it's just eggs, and this is when you mix with salt that you can call it caviar.
So I guess with the salt it reduces the weight because it's
The salt will work as a preservative,
and
it will give a subtle flavor to the caviar. If you don't put salt, the eggs are going to start melting after one hour. So caviar means salted sturgeon eggs.
And for example, last year, how many kilo of caviar did you make at Sturia?
So last year, we produced 17 tons of caviar. The largest producer of caviar today are the Chinese. Then it's Italy and then France.
Italy.
In the northeast of Italy.
Okay, interesting.
And then we produce more and more caviar in Poland as well, in Belgium, in Spain.
Where's the best caviar coming from?
By the French.
French?
Not the French arrogance. Now we'll say the best caviar. Well, it's very subjective, but I will say the French and the Italian caviar are really good because there's a lot of character. It's quite clean, it's quite creamy, nutty. It also depends on the species of the sturgeon. We've got some caviar which are a bit stronger in taste, some which are a bit more creamy, buttery. So it all depends on the fish as well. But yeah, I will say the French, at Sturia, we've been producing caviar for the past 30 years. So I believe that with the time, you acquire the know-how, the savoir-faire.
Because I guess, obviously, every country have different weather, etc., different conditions. So maybe in Russia, it's a bit more cold. Maybe it's better for the fish. I don't know. I'm just
so in Russia, we don't produce any more caviar because since 2008, the wild caviar has been banned and the sturgeon are completely disappeared from the Caspian Sea.
Really? Okay.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen, in 7 years in London, working in the caviar industry, I've never seen any Russian caviar.
Never, really?
Yeah.
So what's the whole hype about caviar for especially the rich people? Because obviously it's known when you say caviar, it's straight yeah. you think about, you know, for the wealthy people. Why the hype on caviar and yeah. not the salmon caviar or like other, you know, fish eggs?
So I would say the hype comes from the fact that it's a luxurious product that is super expensive, first of all, and also because when you think that you have to wait 7 to 9 years minimum just to get 1 kilo of eggs, that makes it quite appealing, quite sexy, quite interesting. After that, yeah, it's like the truffle, it's like the champagne.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, a bit like meat as well. You have
exactly Wagyu, meat, you know, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah,
12-year-old cows, the best meats. That exactly, you can have. No, it makes sense. But when did it become really popular within the whole wealthy people? Because now it's just like champagne, caviar. It's a must.
Yeah, we'll say it's a difficult question because I think that we see more and more because we all work in the industry, so we see it more in the cuisine, but I've got a lot of friends that are not in the food industry and that never tried caviar before, yeah. and they barely know that caviar comes from the sturgeon fish. Mm. I wonder if it's getting more and more popular, or it's because we see it more, and because we are in the food industry that we see it more. Also because we've got a lot of non-pretentious customers, chefs. I always talk about casse-croûte, which I really like around the corner. The chef is to put a bit of caviar just to try something different and to propose something different, or putting it as a supplement, 5 grams of caviar for 10 pounds. So that makes them, yeah, that's something quite luxurious, but that more and more chef wants to try.
Of course.
What I like about caviar a lot is that it's like truffle. It's a very luxurious ingredient, but you put it on very simple ingredients and it matches.
It changes everything.
Also, the thing is, like, with a tin of 20 or 30 grams, okay, it's going to be expensive if you're buying, like, retail. But obviously, like, with a tin of 30 grams, you can make a lot of dish, some petit four, because you just put a little bit of caviar on every dish, you know what I mean? You don't need a lot to have the taste.
Exactly. Well, that depends, again, of the species of the sturgeon. If you talk about Bayeri caviar, which is indeed a bit stronger, you don't have to put a huge quantity. But if you talk about the Ossietra caviar, which we're going to try later, the Ossietra, I think it's really good like this with a spoon.
Okay.
And just have it like this with a glass of champagne or on a dessert, or it's quite...
And can you explain what is this thing about you can't eat caviar with like a classic spoon?
Yeah, so if you eat caviar with a stainless steel spoon, it can oxidize. So in the palate. So the best is to use mother of pearl spoon or plastic spoon. Or there is this new, not new trend, but which it's actually very old, but the royal way to try caviar is to put just here on the back of the thumb and to have it like this. So you avoid the taste of spoon and you slightly warm up the eggs to your skin.
I bought some caviar for this weekend. For Christmas dinner.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're so wealthy.
It was only 30 grams.
Breaking the cork guys making money now.
Breaking the cork guys. <we're laughs> And my girlfriend, she didn't know about this thing about the thumb. Yeah. You know? And I feel like if you're not working in this food industry, you don't really know that much about that.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or even just like the fact that you can use stainless spoon.
There is a lot of restaurants, bars, especially in London, that offer the caviar bump. So it's called the caviar bump. So they have 4 or 5 grams of caviar with a glass of champagne.
That's
including
good.
The champagne.
That's a cool
but
concept.
It's a cool concept and it's a nice way of trying it without spending a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
And then after, they propose the tin of caviar, the full tin of caviar for 30 grams of caviar. Yeah.
Amazing.
50 grams, yeah.
You're selling your caviar to a restaurant, let's say a Michelin restaurant, it seems of 50 grams. How much are you going to pay when you're going to this restaurant?
That's a good question. So we work a lot with Burger & Lobster. They sell the 15-gram tins of caviar for £25.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So that's super affordable.
That's very
we
cheap.
Work with other restaurants, a lot of other restaurants in Mayfair and Marylebone. They sell it for £90, £110.
Okay.
It can go up to £200 for 15 grams. So it really depends of what the chef wants to offer, if he wants to do big margin on it. Yeah. I always say it's a kind of a cash product because it doesn't take space in the fridge. The chef life is quite long. It's about 6 months minimum.
Oh, crap. Well,
yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Once it's open, it's 2 or 3 days, but once closed, it's 6 months. It's very easy to serve just on the bowl with ice,
yeah.
2 spoons on the side. It's always a bit frustrating when I see some places where they offer the 15 gram tins at £200.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Should we give it a try?
Yeah, we can
taste?
This thing. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I think.
Can you age the caviar like a fine wine?
You can age the caviar on the... So I will explain the difference of the caviar, but on the Bahiri caviar, which is those two, you can age the caviar because the eggs are quite small, quite creamy, nutty. So you're going to see a difference if it's aged for 2 months or 8 months. Aging means that when we produce the caviar, we put the caviar in those big 1 kilo tin, and then we leave it in the fridge. But we don't touch the product, we just leave it like this.
Okay.
With the time, the salt will work on the eggs, so it's going to give the subtle flavor to the caviar. It's like a cheese, it's like a Comté. The more you age it, the stronger will be the caviar. But you lose a little bit in texture. Since the Ossietra, the eggs are a bit bigger and firmer, you're not going to see a huge difference if it's 2 months or 10 months or whatever.
Okay.
So we're going to try one. So this is a classic Bahiri. So I did bring two different Bahiri. We started with the entry-level price caviar. The texture is quite melty. It doesn't pop in the palate.
Nope.
You don't feel the eggs that pops in the palate. That's the caviar that chef used to like to use on a sauce. Mm. They don't necessarily have the budget, but they want to have a bit of luxurious product in their menu. So they will use this one. Since it's a bit stronger, you really get these sea flavors, like almost oystery flavors.
It's not fishy.
It's not too fishy.
So we don't like the... In caviar, we don't like the term fishy because it's very negative. So good,
really?
Good point. The second spoon is slightly different.
Do you know why the second one is always way better?
As human, we are not ready to eat oyster in the morning.
Yep.
So it's like caviar. I mean, it's like everything. The second spoon really...
It's punchy. Huh?
Much stronger. Yeah. Because your palate was not ready for it.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, that might sound a bit posh, but the funny thing is that when you try caviar in the morning or in the evening, it's totally different.
That's very posh.
Sorry.
What about, actually, I've got a good question. What about on the plane? Have you ever had it on the plane?
I never had caviar on the plane.
Ooh, you need to try that.
Have you tried it?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
No, it's because you lose, I think it's 20% of your taste buds. When
in the plane, really?
Yeah, when you're in high altitude, you lose 10 or 20% of your taste bud.
Okay.
And that's why chefs, when they do the menu for a business class, they have to consider that fact into their menu. Add more salt, for example, more acidity, just to make sure that you get that punch, basically.
Okay.
So, yeah, when the chef does like a whole menu, it's much longer research into the menu because you have to consider 20% less. So that's why you should give it a try and see.
That's interesting.
So good point. We're moving on to the next one.
Yeah.
The eggs over there on this caviar, they're a bit firmer. In terms of size, it's the same size because it's the same species. Taste-wise, it's totally different. The good thing with caviar is that you can eat it all day long. We've got chef using it on the breakfast menu.
Okay.
Caviar with scrambled eggs is absolutely fantastic.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I think you told me that the best accord is like actually scrambled eggs, or like eggs with caviar.
Exactly. Or potato, cream and caviar is one of
now
the best.
I've got
well.
The. That's what I'm going to be doing then on the 25th in the morning.
We've got a lot of customers doing that.
Especially in
England, because in England you celebrate Christmas on the 25th.
Right. I don't know. I do French and version, where you just eat for...
Yeah.
5 days.
But I might do it on the 25th this year just to try the caviar.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Never had the omelette with caviar, but how would you cook it in the morning with scrambled eggs?
You do scrambled eggs and you add it on top.
On the top?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't cook it with it,
touch? Exactly, last touch.
You never cook caviar.
When you put it on the sauce, you cook,
but
no, you never put caviar in the oven or...
No, okay.
But you put it in very last minute in the dish.
Any herbs you would add to it or...
Not necessarily, no.
Just simple as that.
Yeah, okay. Just simple like that.
With a glass of champagne and orange juice.
Exactly.
Mimosa.
Right?
Yeah.
I can just imagine how good it could be with scrambled eggs in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or with a steak tartare and caviar. It's absolutely fantastic.
Steak tartare and caviar.
Oh, yeah. What I really love about caviar is that it's like truffle. You put it on pasta, on a burrata.
Even dessert,
yeah. We've got chef using caviar with a white chocolate on a dessert. So you will not use this one, the Bahiri caviar, which is a bit stronger.
Yeah.
Guests might not love it as much as it's a bit strong. But the Ossietra, since it's a bit more delicate, a bit more creamy, nutty, I think the Ossietra will be best on the dessert menu.
And which one is your best seller? Is it the one in the middle, like the...
No, it's the last one.
Ah yeah, the premium one. Okay.
From the Assipenser Gulden Stetti.
Oh, nice.
That's the fish.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. You
can, that's massive, huh?
It's a big one, yeah.
It's
it really looks like a dinosaur, you know what I mean?
Actually, funny enough, the sturgeon is a dinosaur fish.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Which has more than 200 million years. It doesn't have no scale, no cartilage, and it's a fish that does not reverse. So the shark can't stop and can't reverse.
Okay.
Go backwards.
Yeah, backward.
Sorry?
Backward.
Sorry. The sturgeon fish can stop, but it can't go...
Backward.
Backward, sorry. Backward. So when it goes into the wall in our farms, we have to put it back on the side so it can...
No.
Ah yeah. Ouais. That's funny.
So is so does the...
It can be stuck like this in our farms in...
Okay. And just... Turn
no,
right, so
it doesn't have la marche arrière.
Yeah. A reverse gear. Yeah.
Ah ouais, okay.
Ah, we should do a new brand of caviar.
Exactly.
We put like, you know, the
caviar we can turn.
Yeah. A gearbox. Picture of a gearbox with reverse.
The first caviar we can go backward. Yeah. Should we try the last one?
Yeah, the last one.
So you're selling a lot of caviar in London, outside London, everywhere in the world, basically.
Yeah.
What usually is your main customers? Are we talking more like Michelin restaurant or even, as you say, casse-croûte? Like more casual restaurants can have some caviar on the menu?
That's quite interesting because we've got more and more different channels Thank of you. Customers. We work a lot with Michelin star, obviously, but also with hotels, with small boutiques, with bars. Because there is two ways of trying caviar. You get the chef that uses caviar on a dish, but there is a lot of more and more customers that... present the caviar at the bar with a glass of champagne. We work a lot with Ricky? At the Watley Manor.
Okay.
Who is proposing the caviar tin like this as a starter.
And just what, on a plate, he gives you like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, as I said, on a bowl with ice and two spoons on the side and that's it. Yeah.
Watley Manor?
The Watley Manor, yeah.
Okay, where
which
is it?
Outside of London.
Okay.
In Gloucestershire.
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 So, who's the chef?
Ricky Weston, one Michelin star chef, and we've got more and more restaurants we work with in north of England. We work with football club as well.
Which one?
Liverpool Football Club.
Ah, Liverpool, okay.
Yeah. With Tottenham a little bit.
Okay. For those who are football fans, Fulham has the most expensive season tickets in the whole of the UK.
Which is?
Fulham.
Yeah.
Which, how much? I think it's around the £2,000 marks. Which
oh, wow.
Is for, for 18 games.
That's expensive, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think of this caviar?
It's really good. I love the last one, but to be fair, the one in the middle was really good as well.
The Bayery, yeah.
I prefer the last one, that one.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
The last one, honestly, with a spoon like this, you can have it.
Yeah. It's very luxurious. But I mean, you can feel each...
Eggs that pops.
Egg, yeah.
The Ossiatra is really famous for the... Because the eggs are quite firm and... quite delicate. Well, you really get the eggs that pops in the palate. Yeah. So on the last one, we consider notes of butter and nuts. Yeah. While the second one, as you said, is much more sea flavors like oyster and black olive as well.
Why do you feel more the salt in the first one than the last?
Because the eggs are smaller and the eggs are much more melty in the palate. So you really get this saltiness.
Interesting.
For someone who never tried caviar before, and they want to try caviar to treat themselves for Christmas, would you like advise to get like the first one, the second one, the last one?
The Ossiatra.
The last one to try as a first experience.
Yeah, because I think the last one, because people are a bit scared when they try caviar, they say, oh no, I don't like fishy taste, I don't like it's fish eggs. But the last one, as you said, is very creamy, it's very nutty. You don't have these sea flavors. So I think the Ossiatra caviar is, it's one of the, if not the best in the world, because after the Rolls Royce of the caviar is the Beluga. But as you understood, the price is not the same that we sell.
How much is a Beluga for?
£5,000 a kilo. So for 30 gram in retail, you will not get it under £250 per 30 gram. Yeah. £250 for 30 gram, yeah.
Seriously? Mm. So what's the difference with this one? Like, why is it the Rolls Royce?
First of all, at Styria, we are the only producer of Beluga in France.
Yeah.
And it takes 15 to 20 years, so you have to be very patient.
Wow. Wow.
To get and we only have a few fish, so...
That kind of makes sense,
Do
you get crazy demands, or is there like a waiting list to get it, or not that?
No, because we sell it's quite expensive. I'm not going to lie, we don't have a huge demand because it's...
Too expensive.
Yeah, and people and chefs to put it on the dish, it's quite rare.
Yeah, it's a luxury product, so it kind of makes sense. But if you want to treat yourself for Christmas, I feel like it's great.
Definitely.
For an introduction to caviar.
A nice little champagne.
Ouais, exactly. Champagne or crémant. Any super
or vodka. So some people use vodka with caviar.
Okay. Why
for
vodka?
For me, it's strong, too strong. Well, that's the Russian way to try caviar.
Okay, because it's very natural as a spirit.
It's quite strong and it's... But for me, it does kill the flavors of the caviar. With the white wine or champagne, for me, it's the best.
And is there any like a secret trick to tell a good caviar from a bad caviar? Like a bit like in wine when you have the swirl. And
you will have the humidity in the caviar that you see the oils that comes out. Yeah, you see it's a bad caviar. The smell, we're talking about the smell. If it does smell, it's like fresh fish, or if it smells a lot, it's not good.
Interesting. Cool. Makes sense. And just on another topic, so we tried the caviar. It's really good, it's delicious. I know you bring a couple of like items.
Yeah.
That I guess you made from the fish, from the
exactly.
surgeon.
So we talk a lot about sustainability, but at Styria we're quite proud because we are also breeder, producer and refiner, so we do everything. We've got our own hatchery where we do the artificial reproduction twice a year. Mm-hmm. And every year once we do the reproduction, we release some sturgeon in the sea to recreate the population of sturgeon.
Okay.
And on top of that, when we kill the fish, because we have to kill the fish to get the eggs out of the sturgeon, we're quite proud because right now we use 100% of the fish.
Okay.
So we use obviously the eggs, which is our main part. That's the
which
biggest.
Which is the caviar.
We use the fillet, sturgeon fillet, that we do. We do fresh fillet, frozen fillet. But we're also working on a smoked sturgeon fillet. We use the skin of the sturgeon, so that sturgeon leather. I can show it to the camera. So this is a napkin ring. And we also do some coaster, which I didn't bring today, but and this is the full skin of the sturgeon.
It's actually quite cool.
Yeah, it's nice, huh?
It is. Yeah.
I've got my shoes as well. I'm not going to show you my shoes, but...
Yeah, you get the shoes.
I've got a wallet as well made with a sturgeon leather. Yeah? So yeah, we are quite proud because we use absolutely 100% of the fish, yeah.
Obviously, when you're killing the fish, using the whole fish. Mm. But so, do you think caviar is ethic?
It's like when you eat a fish. When you eat a fish, you don't eat everything because the skin, you remove it, the head, you remove it. Yeah. I think that caviar, first of all, caviar from Syria is quite ethic because, yes, we're trying to recreate the population. We are farming. There is no more wild caviar again. And on top of that, yeah, we use 100% of the fish. So it's like when you're eating meat, you eat the cow, but you don't.
To be fair, I'm personally agree with that. But I know like for some people, they are always like saying that caviar is kind of like maybe a bit harsh as a method. Yeah. Because obviously, when you see like a documentary on caviar, you always see like people with like a white blouse taking the fish, opening the whole fish. It's a bit like hardcore.
Yeah. Kind
of. But I guess they're not filming like the whole process.
Yeah, they're not filming the whole process. And there is something we don't say much, but we can't do... I mean, there is some companies which are doing non-kill caviar. And we've tried to do it, but to get the eggs without killing the fish, you will inject some hormones in the fish to release the eggs and press the belly of the fish.
So it's not
and
better. You're gonna
and because of the product you put inside, it really changed the quality of the caviar.
Yeah.
And technically, the sturgeon can reproduce every 2 years after that, but we've never seen a good production 2 years later.
Okay.
And so the fish is suffering a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Anyway, we kill it, but yeah.
So it's not worth it. It's not worth it, no.
And in terms of reproduction of the sturgeon, out of all these eggs that comes out, how many can be sturgeons after?
It's 50-50, because obviously only the female will produce the eggs, which will go for the caviar. And we do the sexing after 2 years only.
Oh, wow.
So that's another step. This is why caviar is so expensive. When you think you have to wait 7 years, feeding them every day, taking care of the fish for 7 years. But on top of that, you do the sexing after 2 years. So before the fish is 2 years old, you're not able to know if it's a male or female. So the male, we're going to sell them for the flesh, for the meat. Yeah. In Eastern Europe, mainly, we sell them. Or we're going to keep the best for the reproduction.
Yeah.
And the female, we're going to keep them for another 5 years minimum for the bailerie, for 8 years for the Ossetra, and for... 15 years for the beluga.
That means the fish itself to eat is not very good?
First of all, we don't sell it in the UK because with Brexit it makes very complicated to import sturgeon fish and very expensive.
Yeah.
And also because we sell it frozen. And so yeah, chefs are not really interested in frozen sturgeon, in frozen fish in general.
Of course,
so in 10 kilo boxes.
Well, even in France, do you find sturgeon fish
not a lot.
On the menu?
You can find, but not a lot. It's not very popular, I would say.
I never
not
saw like in a supermarket or anything like sturgeon.
By the looks of it looks like a fish that's quite fatty.
Yeah.
So it's in the middle between, we consider it's close to eel
or
cod.
Cod is okay, but eel, I know it's not great.
Just to finish the podcast, just a last question, a question we kind of always ask to the guest. Yes. You're working as a sales. I guess you have a lot of customers in London, outside London, in Dubai, Spain, etc. And I know you're working a little bit as well with private customers. Okay. So did you have any memorable story you had with one of your customers, chef?
Yes.
kind of a story that stands out.
Yeah, okay. I was doing a tasting on a Saturday morning in a little shop in Chelsea, which is called Le Pascalou. Now it's called Marilou. It's been like only 1 year that I was selling caviar. As you understood, a difficult product, quite a niche product.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was in the Saturday morning at 10 a.m. First customer is Hugh Grant with his son.
That's cool.
So quite impressed.
Yeah.
I was blushing. I was as red as my top. I didn't realize at first that it was him. And then I've seen my the colleagues were watching me and having a good laugh. And yeah, we did the caviar tasting. He loved it. I think he comes to this shop quite a lot, and he was going to buy the fish soup. So he told me, "No, today I'm going to stick to the fish soup." And at the end, he was about to pay. And he looked at the caviar. He actually put me a tin of 100 grams of caviar.
100 grams. Wow.
100 grams of caviar. Wow. Yeah. Oh. That's for Sunday morning with the omelette. So he was quite proud. And I gave him this, which is the key of happiness, which I like to call this the key of happiness, so that's the key to open the caviar.
Ah, yeah. Because it's not easy, actually, to open a box of caviar, tin of caviar.
So you will open it with a spoon, but this is the best way to open a tin of caviar.
Mm. Yeah.
And I gave him my key of happiness with a necklace like this. Say,
this is
the key of happiness. And he laughed and he said, "Oh, okay, fair enough." And he put it around his son's neck. And they left the boutique like this. I was so proud.
That's very cool, actually. That's a cool
stuff. And I think he comes quite a lot now buying some to buy some caviar.
He's a great actor.
So and he's a great customer.
I can imagine.
Yeah, for caviar, I can imagine.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies, actually. Hugh Grant.
Which one?
The Gentleman.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely.
Very British.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys, for listening. Thank you very much, Faustine.
Yeah. Well, cheers to Christmas.
Caviar tasting. Cheers to Christmas, actually.
To the last episode of 2024.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. I'm going to have way more episodes for the next year, guys, but we're going to take a little break for Christmas, just 2 weeks.
Let us eat and drink a little bit.
Kilo of caviar. No, it was really cool to test all the caviar.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming.
Obviously, it's not something you can try every day, so it's kind of for special occasion, it's always nice, especially during Christmas. So it was very nice to try, and especially like the three different type of caviar. When can you buy Sturia if you're in UK and you want to buy some caviar?
It's a good question. So obviously we sell to Marilou in Chelsea. We sell in a wine shop in Friarwood in Wimbledon and in Parsons Green. And in East London we sell to Finn and Flander, which is a fishmonger. On Broadway Market, indeed.
And people, they can buy like 15 grams or...
They can buy 15 grams, 30 grams, 50. We've got a bit of stock of 500 grams, 1 kilo if you want.
Nice, okay. Well, I mean, 1 kilo, but at least people, they can try with like...
You've pre-ordered, haven't you?
I pre-ordered 15 kilo. Thank you very much, guys. Yep. Again, Merry Christmas.
Have a great New Year as well.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get back... First week of January for a new episode of Breaking the Cork with a new guest as usual. Have a good time for Christmas. Yep. Don't drink too much. Eat a lot.
Make sure it's good wine.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see you in January, guys. Yep.
See you in the next year.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
The Hospitality Podcast.